And now your host, John Friend.
All right, guys, and we are joined by Enrique Tarrio. Enrique, am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Yes, you are. A lot of people don't, but you nailed it.
Yes, very good. Now, you are involved with the Proud Boys, and you recently came into my newsfeed. I know there was a story by Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's organization, which was basically saying that you were deplatformed or debanked, I should say, by Chase Bank. Is that correct?
That is correct. I was working for about 3 to 4 months with James on a project to expose the banks, specifically at this point, Chase, for debanking conservatives. We had a situation where from the beginning, we got deplatformed off social media, which wasn't a big deal, but we didn't think it was a big deal. And then from there, it went to Airbnb and services like Airbnb. Then it went to PayPal, which doesn't have the same regulations. They don't have to abide by the same regulations as a bank. And then, credit card processors, specifically because of Operation Choke Point, which the president ended that program yesterday. And then now the last step was debanking. So, and it wasn't only me. It was a couple of other conservatives that got conservative voices that got debanked.
Right. Yes. It's something that's been happening to a lot of people. I myself have been targeted, not necessarily targeted, I guess, but I've been kicked off of PayPal. I've been kicked off of Stripe. I still do have my Twitter account, but I wouldn't be surprised if at some point I lose that. So it's something that a lot of conservatives, people in the alt-right or the broader sort of white nationalist community have been experiencing for a number of years. And you are a member of the Proud Boys. Are you officially the president of the Proud Boys, or what's your role with the organization?
The official title is chairman. President is a very strong word because a president holds a lot of power, I guess, within an organization, where the chairman doesn't hold all. Like, I can't tell my guys what to do or what not to do. And that's a really important distinction within our organization, because something that's big within our organization is chapter autonomy. Understanding that there's different regions and there's different cultural aspects to those regions is important to us. Like, I wouldn't want somebody, a Proud Boy in LA, to be dictating what my chapter down here in Miami is doing. And I'm sure the LA chapter wouldn't want me to be telling them what to do.
Right. Yes. I know that makes sense. And, I've been following, the Proud Boys and Gavin McGinnis, his involvement with the organization, which he apparently has totally stepped away from what I understand. Mm-hmm. And this happened late last year. Yeah. I wanted you to maybe kind of talk a bit about the Proud Boys, because it's an organization that has been very much demonized and slandered, I think, and misrepresented by the mass media, by the fake news media, right? You guys have been described as a white supremacist group, a neo-Nazi group, a group that openly engages in political violence, which I think is, from what I could tell, not necessarily true. So can you kind of talk about the Proud Boys and what type of organization it really is?
Okay, so I hate using labels, and I hate using like labels that the left puts on us. So like the alt-right moniker, that varies from person to person that you ask, what's considered alt-right? They've weaponized every single catchphrase that they could. like example, I'm pretty angry, before I get into like what our organization is, like I'm pretty angry that they've weaponized the white nationalist moniker, right? Because there's a big difference between white supremacy and white nationalism. They use, and we're seeing it on the floor of the congressional hearing that they had that was for white nationalists. They were using white supremacists and white nationalists, like, alternatively, like it, they're the same thing. I don't believe that they're the same thing. Nobody in our organization considers themselves like white nationalists or white supremacists. I myself am from Cuban descent. So, it's a bunch of bullshit. So as far as the labels go, so we're not ethno-nationalists, which is what some people would say the alt-right is, right? We're actually against anything that has any obsession with race, right? Whether it's, blacks, whites, Hispanics, whatever fucking color you are, it doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is values, right? What your views are. When you come in to be vetted, to become a Proud Boy, there's no question that asks you, oh, where are you from? Or what race are you? No, it's like questions like, what do you stand for? What is your position on this? What's your position on that? And then based on those answers is whether we let you into our organization or not. In a nutshell, what the Proud Boys is we're a men's drinking club with a patriot problem. It's really what it is. And we don't see it as a problem, you know? We're conservatives. We're mainly conservatives, and libertarians. And then we actually have some members that are Democrats, that they're either were Bernie supporters or are Bernie supporters. Even though the Bernie supporter crowd is a very, very small percentage of our organization, probably less than 1%. But in a nutshell, that's basically what we are, dude. And then the political violence thing, there hasn't been a single issue with Proud Boys where it's violence that is not in self-defense. Like, we never, one of our catchphrases is fuck around and find out, right? So in order to find out, you have to fuck around, meaning we're going to stand our ground. We're not going to back down. And if you touch us, or historically when these alt-left groups come in and throw bottles of urine, bags of feces, or explosives into a crowd, then they're going to find out. That's basically what we are.
Right, yeah, and I know, like, a lot of mainstream accounts will describe you guys as Western chauvinists. I know that's a phrase that I know Gavin has used, and of course the mm-hmm. media has used that as well. So basically you're just is it accurate to say that you guys are basically proud of Western civilization? You know, you want to see Western civilization be preserved and championed? Is that pretty accurate?
That is pretty accurate. And we use some of the, like, everything about us, we revolve around comedy, right? Chauvinist is an awesome word to use, because if you're a lazy person, the first thing that you think of when somebody tells you, oh, I'm a chauvinist, is you think he's some type of misogynist or male chauvinist. It gets confused quite often. Chauvinism is like extreme pride and extreme patriotism. So when you put it together, Western chauvinists, I think you nailed it when you said that we're just promoting Western values and trying to preserve Western values. We're not trying to go backwards in time.
I totally understand. And now, do you see... basically, I mean, from where I sit, you know, I follow a lot of these issues pretty closely, and from what I see a total assault and war on traditional Western civilization and in traditional Western countries, through political correctness, through, you know, left-wing media narratives being promoted pretty much all throughout society, through massive third-world immigration into countries like America and Western Europe and in other Western countries. So is that something you guys also kind of focus on and address as a group?
Yes, yes. And I think that's the biggest hot-button topic that we've had since 2015 is immigration, right? That's where most of the left and right wing disagree on. You know, you have other issues like abortion and stuff like that that we simply disagree, but where we massively disagree with the left is really immigration policy. And it's essential. Immigration policy for us is essential because that's the best way to preserve the West, is to keep those values going and not let those cultural values come from somebody that doesn't want to assimilate into this country. And that's the biggest issue. And we're a threat. The reason why we're a threat to the mainstream media, is really because we're likable. We're funny. And that's a bigger threat than these other groups that are always serious and very aggressive. It's a bigger threat because we get those conversions. And that goes back to me telling you, that there's people from all walks of life within our ranks. We get those conversions, and conversions are probably the most devastating thing for the election process for the left, that there is. Because we're pulling members, because people find us to be funny, new, energetic. We're not the same old 80-year-old Republicans, that old Republican guard. We don't really fit in with establishment Republicans. We don't fit in with the left at all. So we're like on the middle, with a heavy lean to the right.
Got it. Yep. Now there's a couple other topics I wanted to briefly address. And one is, what happened in New York City last fall. I think it was in, if I'm not mistaken, either October or November of last year, mm-hmm. where Gavin mm-hmm. was giving a speech. You guys organized an event in New York City, and, a bunch of radical left-wing Antifa activists showed up, mm-hmm. and some fights ensued. And this is really what the media has used to demonize and target your group, to describe mm-hmm. you guys as a violent, you know, gang or terrorist organization, and also to deplatform you guys, of course. You know, you've been kicked off of Twitter and probably other social media sites. Yeah. And as you sort of explained, you've already been banned from PayPal, and now Chase is basically closing your bank accounts and stuff like that. So could you explain, just briefly kind of what happened? First off, were you there? And kind of what happened in New York City that night?
I wasn't there for the New York thing. I held my reservations until I got all the facts in. But basically what happened was Gavin put together an event at the New York Republican Club, I forget what the name of it is, the Metropolitan Republican Club. And Antifa caught wind of it. And about like a day or two before the event, Antifa actually went over there, broke windows, spray painted the building, glued the locks, and left a letter, a threatening letter, meaning if you host these guys, you'll never hear the end of it, blah, blah, blah. Hate has no home here. And then we had our event. Gavin went ahead and put together the event. There had to be police presence to separate people, onto the other side of the street. There was a journalist that they thought he was a member of the Proud Boys, and they beat the crap out of him and stole his book bag. Those two Antifa members were arrested. And then later on, the state decided to let them off, with nothing, basically. Then when the event ended, everybody got let out except the Proud Boys. NYPD held the Proud Boys in and then let them out. And at the moment, Antifa went around the entire block to confront our guys on their way to the car. They threw a glass bottle of urine at our guys, and our guys beat the brakes off of them, dude. Like you can imagine, like, if you're walking down the streets of New York City with your girlfriend or whatever, and some guy throws a bottle of urine at you and blocks, like, your pathway to your car, I'd expect you to go and defend yourself and defend your spouse. And then we got demonized for it. The cops were there. They saw the entire thing, and they didn't see a reason to arrest, anybody. But then Governor Cuomo, decided to politicize it because it was right before the election and they needed a boogeyman. And the Proud Boys were that boogeyman, the evil white supremacists. And I think, a good percentage of the guys weren't even white. And one of the main gentlemen that got arrested, you know, he has, a black wife with mixed kids, you know, and we kept getting that white supremacist moniker, which, we've been heavily working, and sending, asking for retractions from these media outlets. And they know that they have to retract it. They know that they have to retract the white supremacist, white nationalist moniker, however they describe, what a white nationalist or white supremacist is, beats me. But, they've had to retract it multiple times. We've had Yahoo and CNN retract articles where they call us fascist or white supremacists. You know, that's them going to that event and saying that we shouldn't be given a platform to speak. That's pretty fascist themselves. Like, we never go to their party and we never crash their party. Their parties suck. You know, right. It's always them coming to us. You'll never see a Proud Boy host an actual event. We don't host events. We don't host protests.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that this has really been, you know, a major theme, certainly in the past few years. But really, I think as soon as Donald Trump set foot on the political stage, when he announced his, you know, he was running for president, and then all throughout the campaign season, you know, if you look at like the rallies and even other right wing events, you know, we would basically show up. Our side would basically show up. The left would attack us. We would either defend ourselves or, you know, be attacked, and yet we were the bad guys. We were the ones, our side was the ones accused of engaging in violence. In this case is a perfect example, what you guys experienced in New York City. You know, these radical left-wing activists attempt to shut down your event. It still, you know, takes place, and then afterwards they're attacking you, and yet somehow, you know, you're the bad guy. It's totally backwards. And it's been, you know, a major theme over the course of the past few years, and we still see it today.
Yeah, we do. And something that's really important with us is Proud Boys. We're pretty much, we don't agree with the president 100% on the things that he does, but we support him 100%. I'm going to be really careful with my words here. And say, like, the self-described alt-right, not just people that the media claims to be alt-right or whatever, but the self-described alt-right people, aren't Trump supporters. They're anti-Trump. I wouldn't even like calling them right-wingers. But that's what I see. That we support we're basically the president, right? Think of Proud Boys as an arm of the president. Now, the president has a platform to defend himself. The president has a platform, a financial platform, you know, to be able to fight these things. Proud Boys aren't rich kids or rich dudes. You know, we're your carpenter, we're your police officer, we're your plumber, we're your federal agent, you know? We come from like all walks of life. We have people that are elected government officials that are part of our ranks. We have two Proud Boys that sit at that White House on a daily basis, you know, that they're quiet about their membership. But when they deplatform us, like imagine if the president didn't have Twitter, right? Imagine the president did not have, he couldn't use social media. He wouldn't be able to defend himself. And then the news stories would just go ahead and demonize him nonstop, right? And they'll demonize him to the point where even some of his own supporters will start believing the left-wing media. Like, we get that sometimes. We get, like, conservatives that aren't very, like, they don't have the time to research what the Proud Boys are. And the left goes ahead and makes an article, and suddenly these conservatives that are too busy with their life, with their everyday life, they don't know who we are, and they're like, oh yeah, these guys are white supremacists, without even knowing sometimes, you know. And I don't necessarily blame them. I don't necessarily blame them, because it's a tool that the left uses to deplatform and demonetize.
Yes, absolutely. It will. And speaking of that, I want to kind of wrap up here and give you an opportunity to kind of explain what exactly happened with your situation with Chase Bank. From what I understand, they basically just shut down your account pretty much without warning, from what I understand. Could you give us some more details?
Okay, so a precursor to that answer is the left knows, the left in Congress knows that they don't stand a chance in the world to circumvent the Constitution, to silence conservatives or demonetize conservatives. So what do? They use corporations, major corporations, to do their bidding, right? To circumvent the Constitution, whether it's our First Amendment rights through social media, which I believe is a new public square, or they use programs, government programs, that stealthy government programs like Operation Choke Point. And I'd implore you to read up on Operation Choke Point. It's a name that sounds like it's a conspiracy theory, but it's not. That's an issue I have explaining it because of the name of it. Operation Choke Point was built by the Obama era Department of Justice, where they use subpoenas to banks to shut down accounts. They send subpoenas to banks to shut down accounts. It started with quote unquote great intentions by targeting predatory payday loan lenders that were sharking the American people, right? And then it moved into gun dealers, firearm dealers. And then it went to, from firearms dealers, now we're looking at Operation Choke Point being used to silence political opponents and unsavory political agents. So in my case, I'm on my 19th credit card processor. Back in December, I decided that, after being shut down numerous times, I decided to go with my bank. I was banking with Chase for 15 years. So I'm like, well, I've been banking with these people for 15 years without a hiccup. So these people would be the best to offer me credit card processing services. So 2 months later, I get shut down from their credit card processor. And like about 5 days after that, my bank sends me a letter that they're shutting down my account, my actual bank account. I usually, as an entrepreneur, you don't have time to ask why, right? I just had to move to the next one, get a new bank, get a new credit card processor. But something about this was weird. They didn't want to tell me why they shut down my account. Every time I would call, they'd go ahead and give me the runaround or tell me, hey, we can't tell you, you know, and as a conservative, you know, like we, we ask all sorts of questions, you know, to see, to get the truth. And I started questioning the reason why they wouldn't want to tell me. And I was like, maybe because if they would tell me, maybe they'd be liable for something. By the grace of God, I was in CPAC in the lobby, and I met with a reporter from Project Veritas and had lunch that day with James and that reporter. And, we discussed things and we're like, okay, we're going to target these banks. It's apparent that they're taking your account away because of your political views. So we actually got them pretty much to admit that they shut down my account for my political views.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you can find that story over at Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's website. And, you know, it made headlines. I saw it reported on a number of publications, and I'm actually working on a piece myself for American Free Press dealing with this very issue. And it's incredible. I mean, we've seen the deplatforming, you know, taking place for a number of years, but this is, you know, reaching a whole new level where, mm-hmm. you know, your personal bank is literally shutting down your account. More than likely, I mean, it's pretty clear that it is absolutely because of your political views. So we're reaching a new level of tyranny here in America, certainly when it comes to, you know, conservatives anyways. I mean, the left is not being shut down like this. That's pretty obvious.
They will be. They will be. Because they started with Alex Jones, right? They actually started with, like, actual white supremacist groups. Then they moved over to Alex Jones. Nobody, I love Alex, you know, but a lot of people don't. And nobody said anything. It wasn't a big deal. They're like, oh, whatever, Alex Jones got knocked off. Then they targeted the Proud Boys. Again, nobody said anything. We're a very quiet group outside of some situations. And then they started targeting people like wholesome conservatives and wholesome conservative groups. Like, what's the name of these two ladies? They do videos about the president.
Oh, I'm actually not sure who you're talking about. So they were also shut down?
They were shut down off social media. They were deboosted. And then now we're seeing the evolution of this. Because right now what they're targeting, they see a huge threat in Turning Point USA, right? And they're targeting Turning Point USA. They're moving more into the center, right? They're going from constitutionalists to like wholesome conservative groups, and then we're going to start seeing it shift over, and some of these old Republican guards will probably go ahead and say, hey, we need to shut down, they're doing it to us, we need to shut down, you know, left-wing accounts also, you know, when that's not the solution. The solution is to stop shutting people down, period. And that congressional, that white nationalist or whatever they want to call it, congressional hearing, I only heard one. I think it was like 4 or 5 hours, right? I only heard one conservative that was on that board mention the word Constitution. Everybody else was either fighting it one way or another, but I never heard anybody besides him say the word Constitution. And it's really important that we always fall back on the Constitution for these things, because it's not, deplatforming isn't a left or right problem. Like, eventually the left is going to start getting shut down too. And the solution isn't to silence the left. We don't want to silence the left. What we want to do is not to silence anybody, period. Like, I don't care if you're part of the Libertarian Party. I don't care if you're part of the Democrat Party. I don't care if you're part of the Democratic Socialists of America. You shouldn't be shut down for your views. It's against everything that we stand for.
Yes, very, very well said. I could not agree with you more, sir. Well, Enrique, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with me, and we'll definitely have to stay in touch, and I wish you the best of luck.
Likewise, brother. You take care. Okay. Thank you for having me on. Thank you for listening to our message.